Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our six-pack today, our six biggest concerns about the game against the Bills Sunday. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
I kind of cheated here at six, but I put the weather at six because I think Buffalo cold is different than any other kind of cold in the lake effect. And also, a stat I told Jason earlier, which we should know, but you don't think about, Lamar's never thrown a touchdown pass on the road in the playoffs. He's had two road playoff games. Remember, he didn't play in Cincinnati. Did not throw one in Tennessee. He ran for one in Tennessee. And then the disaster that was the game in Buffalo the COVID year. So the weather, that lake effect cold, I put that at six.
Got something Buffalo related higher. I didn't put the weather because I think if they had to, if you could do nothing but run the football in this game because you don't want to kick field goals and you can't throw it downfield in the wind. I think they dominate that way, maybe even more so than
that's
otherwise.
Why I had it at six. I like didn't have it high.
My six kind of picks up with how we opened the show. I'm a little worried about the secondary. And like this passing attack can exploit this secondary if there are communication issues. This is a quarterback who loves to throw into tight windows. And if you're playing zone and you don't cover ground like you need to as a safety, because let's face it, neither of their safeties have played a whole lot of safety in big games. Or Brandon Stevens is just a problem, and even with somebody over top of him, it's still a problem. These guys have an offense that's built on explosives. They have a quarterback who can generate explosives inside the pocket, outside the pocket, on script or off script, unlike others. And if their psyche is a little warped, because of what happened in the third quarter Saturday night, this is not the team you want to be playing in their place. So my concern is Buffalo's quick strike ability in the pass game against the secondary that all of a sudden had issues last week.
Number five.
As we just talked about, I don't know if the Bills are going to be able to run the ball on the Ravens the way they'd like, but the screen game as an extension of the run game, I'm buying here big time. Three running backs who can all catch the ball and get yak and be make things happen after the catch. A quarterback who can throw off all different arm angles like Lamar, underhand, jump passes, you know, sky hooks, whatever it takes to get it in the hands of his running backs around the line of scrimmage, between the hash marks, where the Ravens have had so much difficulty defending people since week one at Arrowhead. I don't like some of those matchups. And the Bills, if they want to say screw the wide receivers except for the occasional deep shot to Shakir or Cooper, and the tight ends are there to block, and we're going to throw five times or more to all three of these running backs, I think they can sustain drives and move the ball that way.
My five is, and I've already started to panic, and we're days away from the game, but I could see Amari Cooper going off on Brandon Stevens. Like it was only a year ago where Joe Flacco got put in the lineup in Cleveland, and Amari Cooper started going off. He hadn't really done it in Buffalo, and he's had some injury issues, but I could see Amari Cooper having a big game against Brandon Stevens.
Number four.
Four is, I think you alluded to this at six, at James Cook in the screen game. Like, I still don't know that I trust Ravens linebackers covering running backs. And James Cook, as we point out in the open, they trust him enough to be a three-down back, and they trust him enough to catch the ball out of the backfield. I could see him having a big day in the screen game.
My four is the Bills are fast starters, and we know that the Ravens have not been generally in the postseason. Buffalo Bills scored 94 points this season in the first quarter. That's sixth most in the NFL. They tend to have really strong early game scripts under Joe Brady, and they can win in a lot of different ways, in part because of the multiplicity of the quarterback. And I don't know what their philosophy would be in this game. They might just want to take the ball if they win the coin toss. But we know how important fast starts are for the Ravens, and I don't want them to play from behind. But this team is equipped to make you play from behind right from the giddy-up.
I'm with Jason. I'm not overly concerned about the weather, although it is going to be really, really cold. But the fast starter aspect of it, we've seen how this team can operate if they find themselves in an early two-score hole. They can't panic if that happens.
It's our six-pack of concerns about Sunday's game against the Buffalo Bills. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three
is the Bills don't beat themselves. Eight turnovers all season. Eight turnovers all season. The Buffalo Bills have a plus 24 turnover ratio. The next best team was Pittsburgh at plus 16. I mean, that's not even on the same planet. Now, is some of that luck? Is there inherent regression in that? Maybe, maybe not. But I think a team that is that equipped to handling the ball and not turning it over, I think that becomes sort of a hallmark. It becomes a bankable thing. Josh Allen set an NFL record since the merger in 1970 for the lowest percentage of plays where it resulted in a sack, a fumble, or an interception for a quarterback. 4.1% of his snaps resulted in one of those outcomes. Protecting the football, not getting stupid penalties can go a long way.
Number three for me, the Ravens and Bills, in one sense, are kind of mirror images. They both have MVP candidates at quarterback, and they both have two tight ends that can catch the ball and cause problems, and obviously Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely in Baltimore. But Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid can be a problem. And again, this is also middle of the field stuff that I'm concerned about. And I feel like these tight ends are much better than what the Ravens saw a week ago against Pittsburgh, and I am concerned about Kincaid and Knox.
Number two.
Two is the Bills have a really good offensive line, and I'm concerned. And quite frankly, Josh Allen doesn't get sacked a lot, and you could think you have him, and then all of a sudden you don't, and it's going to give me Ben Roethlisberger PTSD. He could make a big play in the scramble drill. That to me is a major concern.
We're kind of in the same place, just I'm framing it a little differently. Two for me is the game does being played in Buffalo. It's the crowd. It's the noise. It's the fact that Lamar wanting to check in and out of things, wanting to be able to audible, wanting to make adjustments at the line. That place was loud the COVID year when it was 85% empty because they only let 8,000 people in. Like, it's a different environment. It is raucous. Buffalo's 8-0 at home this year. They're 15-5 in their last 20 home playoff games. The crowd has something to do with that. It is a really good offensive line. No two ways about it. And it's quiet, and Josh Allen can operate however he wants. It's a big advantage. We've seen the Ravens at the point of attack. Offensive line, defensive line. It hasn't always looked the same on the road as it has at home.
Number one.
I mean, most years I would say Josh Allen's the best football player on the planet, man. I mean, look, that team ran for 30 touchdowns and threw for over 40 touchdowns, and I just mentioned he never turns the ball over, and he's an absolute weapon running or passing the ball. And he's the only player in NFL history, only quarterback to average over 250 passing yards and over 50 rushing yards per game in his playoff career, which is now coming up on game number 12. That's not a small sample size. He's a freak show.
We're simpatico at one. Josh Allen. Like, if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson, as Jason said, he'd be the best player on the football field. He's an MVP candidate. If the Ravens lose this football game, Josh Allen's going to have a big part in that.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
We've talked a lot in recent weeks, and granted, their last road game in Houston, the offensive line did play really well, but it hasn't always been the same group, or really looked like the same group, I should say, when they're away from home. And the lack of turnovers, I mean, eight turnovers, that's amazing.
Yeah.
The fact that, and Ravens did force a fumble in that first matchup that really kind of turned out the lights on the Bills, but that's incredible. Eight.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at what's going on divisional round around the NFL. It's league at large. We'll hear from Dan Campbell, Jalen Hurts, CJ Stroud. We start previewing the divisional round in the NFL playoffs. League at large next here.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're on the Fan.
No, I mean, everything's about this game right now. And like I've said it before, I've been to the Super Bowl and I've lost it and it stinks. So it's about this week. We got to find a way to win this game this week.
Dan Campbell sounds like he's pounding the podium as if this is Super Bowl or bust. He says he's just worried about this week. Both David Montgomery and Terrion Arnold both practicing full yesterday.
Would you rather pound the table or bite a knee? I'd rather pound the table.
I'd pound the table. I don't want to bite a knee.
I'm biting a knee.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Bone's a knee biter.
I'm getting after it.
Knee biting bone. Tough mutter. I'd expect nothing else.
Yeah. What do you expect from this line? First of all, that crowd's going to be insane.
Yes.
The Cardiac Commanders coming in town to face the Detroit Lions.
I'm not sure if the Cardiac Commanders can keep it close enough for Jaden Daniels' magic to manifest itself. That's obviously fourth quarter, last drive kind of stuff.
Backdoor cover, maybe.
I don't know, man. I got it at 8.5. Washington allows 1.9 yards before contact on defense. That is 29th in the NFL. They're 23rd in rush defense EPA, 26th in success rate. They allow at least one rushing touchdown per game. They 18 rushing touchdowns, 4.7 yards per carry. And at the same time, Washington's running backs, the last seven games have produced 44, 23, 81, 32, 71, 22, 57, 75 total yards from their running backs rushing the ball. I just don't know that that's going to work against this Lions team. Washington 2-4 in their last six against the spread on the road. Their offense has not been as explosive on the road. Since they went to Arizona and went crazy on them, Washington scoring at home, on the road, 20-23, 20-18, 27-23. I don't think they can keep pace with the Lions.
It's a very good offense. Very good offense.
And it's rested.
Yes.
And they've got Sonic and Knuckles back.
Yes.
You gave the numbers of how bad Washington is against the run. I'm sure you've seen Montgomery and Gibbs anytime touchdown props.
The numbers are
nuts.
It's
like minus 400. It was 420 for Gibbs, and I think Montgomery was like minus 330.
Well, I mean, I played Gibbs rushing over. Like, I know Montgomery's back, but I mean, Gibbs was going for over 100 yards rushing in three straight games. Gibbs on the season, 6.4 yards per touch, 20 total touchdowns, 1,929 scrimmage yards.
That's insane.
And that's with him having to sit out the first drive of the game, because that's Montgomery's drive, and sometimes the first drive of the second half, and a lot of times the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, I think Gibbs is going to be a major problem for Washington. Washington is also, their defense is bottom eight in the NFL and missed tackles versus the run. And Gibbs is as elusive and makes people miss as much as anybody in the league.
Let's go to the other NFC game this weekend. That's the early game on Sunday. Eagles hosting the Rams, and Jalen Hurts says he wants to win however they can.
You know that doesn't matter. You know that doesn't matter. It's all about winning, you know, and that's the only thing. You know, we've got to the point we are, so it's about finding ways to win.
I guess he was asked about the passing game not being up to par, and he says it doesn't matter, just win.
Yeah. I mean, they say styles make fights, right? And I do think, because McVay's a special coach in December and January especially, that if this spread keeps growing, I might lean the Rams' way. I did jump the under at 44.5. In that first game that these two teams played, the Eagles had 314 rushing yards.
Yeah, well, Saquon went off.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't need to throw the ball. It's kind of like how the Ravens, I've kept saying, hey, they only threw the ball four times to Zay and Bateman and Andrews combined.
Yeah.
It was the same way for the Eagles in this game. 7.1 yards per play. They held the ball for 34 minutes. Saquon had over 250 rushing yards and two rushing touchdowns. I don't think Jalen Hurts is fully healthy. I don't think Jalen Hurts totally trusts himself right now. I don't think they totally trust Jalen Hurts. I don't know. Philadelphia at home in the playoffs?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Last 15 home playoff games for the Philadelphia Eagles, 12-2-1 to the under.
That is crazy.
Those games on average closed at 43 and produced on average 36 points, minus 7.13 under ratio per game. The last 13 home playoff games for Philadelphia Eagles, 11-1-1 to the under. Jalen Hurts, 5-1 to the under in his playoff career. And we've seen the Rams have slow starts, and it's going to be a bit of a weather game, although we're all old enough to remember Matthew Stafford coming here in the rain last December.
Looked great.
And didn't really have a problem.
No.
But, yeah, there's some undertrends. I think the Eagles, because of the physical superiority, probably wear down that young Rams defense if they attack this the way I think they're going to attack it. One of my favorite props in this game is I got it at 7.5 yards for Kenneth Gainwell. Like, how many times are you going to run Saquon Barkley? Like, are you going to run him 50 times? Yeah. Like, if you're running the ball 45 times and you don't really want to run your off-concussed quarterback, like, you're telling me Gainwell's not going to get 5, 6, 7 carries and he can't get 1 yard a carry against the Rams? I think it's up to 9.5 now or something, but still.
Let's go to the other game. Obviously, we're excluding the Ravens here, but Chiefs and Texans is the early game Saturday. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud talks about getting back to having fun playing football.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, it's not easy to have fun while you're not executing. You know, execution breeds, you know, energy and breeds that excitement to the game. So once you started executing, that's when we started playing, you know, with that swag. And I think it pops out like on film, or it pops off when we're rolling, you know, but it's that in between we need to fix. So still a ton of things we can fix, but I definitely think the joy that we have after executing, we need to keep that rolling.
They couldn't have been having much fun down the stretch, especially Christmas Day when the Ravens beat the crap out of them. And that offense had looked bad. And first quarter of that game, I thought the Chargers were going to kill them, and then they couldn't score, and the game flipped.
Do you remember about a year ago at this time when we started a show and I said Patrick Mahomes is the greatest playoff
yeah, we got,
player
and you,
in
you
the history
out,
of the NFL?
Out.
Yeah, and you told out. Me he hasn't won as many playoff games as Tom Brady.
But I watched as many Super Bowls, is what I said.
Yeah, one or as many games, and whatever.
I said seven Super Bowls, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has now played 18 career playoff games. He's 15-3 with 5,135 passing yards, 41 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, and 524 rushing yards. No player in the history of the NFL in the regular season take the best 18-game stretch of any regular season quarterback in the history of the NFL. That's Tom Brady. That's Joe Montana. None of them have had an 18-game regular season stretch with at least 5,000 passing yards, 40 or more touchdowns with 10 or fewer interceptions, and 500 rushing yards. No one's done that in the regular season in the history of this GD sport. GD. And he's done it in his first 18 career playoff games against the best of the best.
That's crazy.
That is nuts.
I would think that the one season that comes to mind, well, Brady in 07, but Manning when he set the touchdown.
Remember, you got to have 500 rushing yards in there, too.
He's also never lost a divisional round game.
He's 6-0 with 16 touchdowns and no turnovers.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs at home in 12 games has 31 passing touchdowns.
He's pretty good.
He's 8-4 against the spread at home in the playoffs. Now, this thing's up to 9 or whatever.
Do you expect
I don't know.
The Texans to...
I wanted to play this under, but the numbers didn't open where I thought they'd open.
Yeah.
And if it keeps dropping, if it drops to 40, I'm going to go over. Because I think Patrick Mahomes is going to put up 28-30 on him.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Hey, coming up next, college football season is coming to a close next Monday. The national championship game, Ohio State, and Tim Murray's Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Tim Murray from VSiN joins us next here on The Fan. One more college football game left that's coming up this Monday in Atlanta. It's the national championship game. It's eight-seeded Ohio State against seven-seeded Notre Dame. And joining us now for the best bets for the national championship game, it's our buddy Tim Murray from VSiN who joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Tim, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate it. Before we get to that, you were at the Orange Bowl. Penn State, Notre Dame. Just take us through that evening for us.
I mean, it was incredible, man. You know, I've been a lifelong fan, grew up in a Notre Dame household, and you know, it's been a decent run for the Irish, but they haven't won a national title since 1988. So to attend a game like that, I mean, last time I was in that stadium, guys, it was 12 years before when Notre Dame was down 28-0 at halftime to Alabama. Mm. So it was not all that enjoyable the previous time I was there, but you know, the atmosphere was really good. I was curious how it came off on television, but you know, the atmosphere was phenomenal. It was, I would say 50-50 in my opinion, maybe. I thought there was a slight edge to the Penn State fans, but not overwhelmingly. They stood out a little bit more. They all wore white for like a whiteout type of, they call it whiteout energy, but no, I mean, the atmosphere was fantastic. And you know, as for the game itself, I was pleasantly surprised in the second half to see Notre Dame's offense come to life after in the first half, guys, it felt like they were going to be kind of left for dead, to be honest. And Riley Leonard goes out with an injury at the end of the first half. They bring in Steve Angeli, their backup. He gives them a little bit of positivity through the air, and they go back to Riley Leonard. They find some things that are working, and we'll see, man. They're going to have their hands full on Monday night, no doubt, with Ohio State. But I think from, you know, an atmosphere standpoint, I thought it was tremendous. I thought both fan bases showed out well, and there was not a seat to be had in the whole place. I was way up there, man. I was in the 300 section, excuse me. So, you know, I was like 10, 15 rows from the top. So, had my oxygen ready, but I mean, the whole area, man, like, no one sat the entire game. You sat during commercial breaks, but as soon as the game came back, everybody in that stadium was standing. So for a neutral site type of game, I thought the atmosphere was really, really good. You know, not as good as on campus, certainly, but I thought all in all, it was a really juiced up environment. And then for the game-winning field goal to go in, and The place just went absolutely bonkers when that field goal from Mitch Jeter, which looked like it was hooking a little bit and then kind of cugged back in and ultimately got there. But, you know, I said it, you know, growing up in D.C. As a Notre Dame fan, I think my two favorite sporting events that I've now gone to as a fan would be the Orange Bowl win over Penn State and then the wild card win in 2019. Over the Brewers, the Nats had as they came back to win that one and root to the World Series. Those would be 1-2 for me as a fan being in the stands. It was pretty awesome to be there, and I won't be there on Monday, so we'll see how it plays out then.
Well, let's get to Monday. Ohio State rolling through these playoffs. Notre Dame 8-point underdogs in the national championship. Can they cover? Are they live dogs for you, Tim?
It's gonna be tough. Tim, it's going to be really tough. Ohio State, since the Michigan loss, has looked like a new football team. They've really gone to the air. I think they have the best defense in the country. I think you have arguably the two best defenses in the country going head-to-head on Monday night. But I love this Ohio State defense. I think they've got some really impressive defensive linemen. I think you have arguably the two best D coordinators in the game, and Jim Knowles for Ohio State and Al Golden for Notre Dame. So I think in order for Notre Dame to win this game, I think it correlates to the under. So if you do like Notre Dame, I do think under is probably the look, even though the game did go over against Penn State. I think this is going to have to play out similarly to Georgia, where you're physical up front, you get a couple stops, and you need some turnovers. I think if this game plays out kind of even Steven, I think Ohio State's going to have the edge, and that's why you see the point spread sitting there at 8. Now, worth noting, Marcus Freeman, it hasn't happened often, but in his time at Notre Dame as an underdog, is 5-1-1 against the spread. This will be the third straight year Notre Dame and Ohio State have played. They opened up the season 2 years ago, guys, in Columbus, and Ohio State was a 17-point favorite. Notre Dame lost that game 21-10. And then last year in South Bend, Notre Dame was a 3-point dog to Ohio State, and that game closed or finished 17-14 with the infamous 10 men on the field. So I haven't bet this game, Tim, yet from a side or total standpoint. I think the one thing that I'm – couple things that I'm looking at here, team total for Notre Dame.
That's
under,
what I was going to ask you, because that's what I attacked. I found that at 18.5, and I'm like, are they going to score 3 touchdowns against this defense? I don't think so. If they're chasing the game, like I think they will be, can they settle for a bunch of field goals? I don't think so.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair way to look at it. I mean, you look at how the games have started for the Irish these past couple of weeks. You know, Indiana, a little bit different. They get the explosive play from Jeremiah Love, and then you get an extended drive. They're up 17-3 at the half. But I think, you know, Georgia and Penn State made a little bit more sense from a game state standpoint. And then you got to remember this, you know, Notre Dame lost their left tackle in the game. Now, It kind of comes full circle because the guy that they were supposed to have as their starter, Charles Jagasaw, who tore his pec in August, he's now anticipated to probably start at left tackle. He made his season debut last week when he stepped in for Rocco Spindler at right guard. But yeah, I think Notre Dame has some struggles kind of having consistency offensively. But you know, I'll say this, JLC, as you mentioned, 18.5. I'd be curious to see where this goes. You know, obviously 18 is kind of a weird dead number. Yeah. There was a shop here in town that had 19.5. So I'm just going to wait and see. You know, maybe we get a little bit of movement more. I don't know if we'd ever get to 20, but, you know, I think 17.5 certainly would still be a playable for me. So, yeah, under would be that way. And then, you know, from a game state standpoint, guys, I know player props are something you can't bet in the state of Maryland, but I've just kind of been diving into those. And it's funny how these books have shifted certain things where I do think like someone like Jadarian Price, Notre Dame's backup running back who did not fare all that well against Penn State. I don't know how utilized he is. I think his over under was like 23.5. I could see that going under. And then lastly, I'll say from an Ohio State standpoint, guys, Emeka Egbuka, their number 2 wide receiver, who he's going to be a pro. He's really good. I think he could have some success. I think his over-under was like 55.5 or something like that. He's gone over that in the 2 meetings that they've had in the past 2 years. And I think that could be a guy that someone, you know, keeps a close eye on there. So, yeah, there's a couple things from a prop market. But, you know, the one side I was looking to potentially take would be Notre Dame team total under and see how high that ultimately goes. Do we get, you know, 20 at some point? Maybe, probably not, but I do think Notre Dame, from a sustainability standpoint, really struggles to kind of get it going offensively.
We're talking with Tim Murray. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Tim, before I let you go, give me a scenario where Notre Dame wins this football game.
I think the Georgia game. I think you get a play on special teams. I think your defense steps up. You got a couple stops on fourth down. Look, Ohio State, let's remember this. And, you know, they ultimately won and covered against Texas. But Texas had the ball at the 1 yard line, down 21-14. And the reason was you saw Ohio State kind of make mistakes, right? They had a bunch of penalties. They had a bunch of second and longs. I do trust this Notre Dame secondary. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out, because this will be the best receiving core Notre Dame has faced all year, without a doubt. But I think it's also the best secondary that Ohio State has faced all year. Leonard Morris stepped in for Benjamin Morrison, who's going to be, you know, I don't know if he'll be a first-round pick, but he'll be a high draft pick. And he's been exceptional. Xavier Watts is an All-American safety back there. The defense is the real deal for the Irish. I worry a little bit about the depth up front. Riley Mills, they lost during the Indiana game due to an injury. He's done for the year. But the pathway to a win is you are exceptional on special teams. Mitch Jeter has been very good here in the postseason, their kicker. And you force a couple turnovers. Look, Riley Leonard threw a pick six against Penn State early on in that game, right? If you cause Ohio State to make mistakes and you play a clean football game, would I be shocked if Notre Dame won 20-17? No, I wouldn't. And, you know, before you roll your eyes and say, Ohio State, there's no way they could be stopped to that few points. Look, Notre Dame had this team down to 10 points last year, if not for a, you know, a bungled final offensive possession that allowed Ohio State to finally score in the closing seconds. So, look, Notre Dame's not going to be afraid. I just think ultimately the talent is going to overcome here. But, yeah, for me, I think it's a lower-scoring game, and I think Notre Dame does have a shot. Unlike Alabama in 2012 or some other spots, I think they do have a shot, but I think at the end of the day, the superior team is Ohio State, and that's why they're, you know, north of a touchdown favorite here, guys.
Tim Murray lets people know what's going on at VEASAN.
Yeah, catch me every Saturday and Sunday. I'll be doing the tailgate show starting at 10 a.m. You can see those on Masson. And also big news for SiriusXM. We're headed back to satellite radio, channel 158, 24/7 VEASAN starting on Friday. So channel 158.
Nice.
Excited to be back on SiriusXM.
Awesome, buddy. Thanks so much for your time. As always, we'll chat next week.
All right, boys. Enjoy.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Good luck.
Yep. Hey, coming up next, it's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and what you got?
There was an all-time bad beat last night in the North Texas-East Carolina basketball game. We'll tell you what happened on the other side, but I want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. What is the worst bad beat that you have been a part of? 410-583-1057. We're talking bad beats next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM. The floor is yours.
This was a JLC special last night if you were betting this game. North Texas, East Carolina University.
I was not on that. I did not even know that game happened.
Over under.
I'm a CAA guy, Bone. I'm a big CAA guy.
Small games.
And the occasional is this Patriot League? Yeah. Whatever league Loyola plays in. The occasional Loyola or American University.
Over under point total was 128.5. The final score was 69-57, which that maths out to 126. It was final. Until it wasn't, because the shot clock was turned off. There was a shot clock violation on North Texas. After the ref went back and saw it, put a half second back on.
What?
RJ Felton.
I love him.
Of East Carolina ends up hitting a shot beyond half court to sink a three. And then boom, lickety split. The over hit instead of the under after the game already hit the buzzer. So that was one of the worst bad beats that I've ever seen. 410-583-1057. If you want to join us, if you have a bad bet that you want to commiserate with us. Mine, so it's not like I ever even put down crazy money. And I used to, when I first started betting, like I feel like everybody does, you make the crazy leg parlays where it's like, oh, okay, I'm betting $5 to win $1,200, and it never hits because the odds are insane. So this was back in 2021, which I don't even think it was legal in Maryland at this point.
It's illegal betting.
Well, no, this was back when my friends and I, we would Sunday mornings, we'd carpool, drive to the PA state line.
Yep.
Place our bets, come back.
So was it at the Rofo?
It was, what was the first exit? Shrewsbury, maybe?
A lot of people do it at the Rofo right across. They would do it across the PA line at the Rofo.
We would always go to this shopping center. There was a grocery store. I know there was a Starbucks in there as well. We would go there like legitimately every week, make that drive. I kind of miss it in a way. Like it was just a fun thing to do.
You could still go there.
Yeah. But
there's nothing stopping you,
the
Bone.
The convenience factor. It was... I don't even know how many legs I did, but it was to win like close to $400. And the Bills were favored by 6 points over the Titans in 2021. And I teased it down to 2.5. So the Bills ended up losing this game 34-31. But with 22 seconds left to go in the game, it was 4th and 1 at the Titans 3-yard line. And Josh Allen, quarterback sneak, didn't get it. I remember I was watching on my laptop. I just closed it and went to bed. I was pissed. It was the Sunday night game. It was like $5 or $10 to win like close to 400. Do you have a bad beat that sticks out to you?
There's one that sticks out. Last year, I did like a, I think it was a 5-leg parlay, NFL. It was all in the 1 o'clock window. So they were all going on at the same time. And the first 4 had hit. And the Saints game was going longer than these other games for whatever reason. And there's a point in time where I kept going back and forth on whether to do receptions for Kamara or receiving yards. And I ultimately talked myself into the receiving yards over the receptions. And it's like the 4th quarter and it's quasi garbage time. And this is like when Carr is just throwing it all the time to Kamara. And he catches like the, I think it was the 6th or the 7th reception, which would have put that part over. And he catches it, and he loses 7 yards.
Oh,
and he goes from me sitting 5 yards above where I need to be to like 2 under.
Oh,
and then he throws to him like one more time in the game, and it's incomplete. And it was like one of those where I think I put $25 down, but it would have been like $1,500.
Damn.
And every other, like the other games are like, the game was either over or I needed 75, and the guy had 125. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just like, if I had just done the receptions, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I'll do the yard. I think the yard. I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then he went from being, you know, me sitting like 5 yards over to being under.
You have one, Ken?
It's not mine. My buddy Horse, and I might get some of the specifics wrong, but you'll get the point. I think, and this is a long time ago. It's probably like 25 years ago. And I think it was South Carolina Clemson. And let's say he had Clemson -6.5, and it's tied late, and it's a home game. And Clemson, on like the last play of the game, scores a touchdown. And so he thinks he's going to win his bet. The fans rush the field and tear the goalpost down. So they just end it.
Oh.
So they win by 6.
Oh,
so
my God.
Yeah. So like they kick the extra point. He's going to win the game. The fans storm the field. They tear the goalpost down. The game's over. They win by 6. He's got 6.5.
That's a worse beat than what we just said.
That's brutal.
Ben.
Yes.
Do you have a bad
deal? Absolutely. And as soon as you said that, I knew like it was 2021, and it was the Florida State versus Clemson, and the spread or the over under was 47.5. Clemson is up 24-20. They punt the ball to Florida State. They got to go the whole field. I'm like, it's done. The worst part is they punt it to the 9, and I'm worried about the fumble. Florida State hits a 25-yard pass to get them out of that bar. So I'm like, the fumble thing's coming, but it's not gonna happen. They do the lateral play. Barrett Carter, who's still at Clemson this year, instead of just falling on it, picks it up, scores a touchdown as the clock expires. Also gave them a cover in that.
Jeez.
I almost got it right. My buddy just texted me. It was NC State, South Carolina, early 80s. NC State -1.5. It's 22-17, 8 seconds left. South Carolina up. NC State scores to take the lead. Fans tear the goalpost down. No extra point. He doesn't get his 1.5.
Crazy. Crazy. We'll grab
that sucks.
One quick call. Kevin is in Falston. Kevin, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. I will tell you, you guys have some tragic stories. Here's my deal. 23 years ago to the day, well, not today, but a week from now, okay? I did a 17 parlay involving some, you know, college basketball, hockey, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Put down $8. That's all I had in my internet account at the time.
Wow.
Oasis, RIP, sportsbook. Put down $8 to win $4,300.
Wow.
Okay. I hit the first six. It's before all the updates, live tweeting, and all that stuff. The last game, I've got the L.A. Kings, Philadelphia Flyers in L.A., okay? The Flyers, I took the Flyers money line, okay? They're up 3-1, 40-some seconds left.
Boy.
I'm watching ESPN, the crawl. You see the crawl at the bottom of the screen? All of a sudden, it comes across NHL. Now it's 3-2. It's 20-some seconds. Next crawl, it's 3-3. They're going OT. Next crawl, 4-3. So I'm at 2 in the morning. They finally have the live ESPN Sports Center. I watch how the game, it's one of the lead ones, from the blue line, with less than 5 seconds left, flips it in on the goalie. Goalie gets handcuffed.
Oh, no.
Literally. It goes right through his mid-hand, right down to the ice, through his legs, in with less than 2 seconds left.
Jeez. That's brutal.
That's tough.
Thanks for the call.
Hey.
Jeez.
Wow. Coming up next, we're going
to... I don't know that I could have watched the... Well, I guess there's party that wants to see just how bad it was.
Yeah. What happened? What happened? Hey, coming up next, we'll preview the NFL playoffs divisional round with Charles Davis from CBS. He joins us next here on The Fan.